Sunday school lesson from last Sunday, which is about Simeon this morning, and I hope it's something that's interesting and maybe a little different and provides a little bit of a challenge to you in just thinking about the magnificence of Christ's coming as a child. So turn to Luke chapter 2, but while you're turning there, I have a question for you. And I just want to preface this by saying there's no right or wrong answer. I want you to participate and give me something, okay? What does the word hope mean to you? It doesn't have to have a spiritual meaning. I just want to know, what does the word hope mean to you when you think of that word?
Heaven.
Got one answer. I know there's other answers. Okay, yep, that's good. So we have heaven and anticipating something good. Something to hold on to, joy. A reason for living. Those are all really good answers. And guess what? You're going to pretty much find all of those in the lesson today. That's one of the things that I want us to get out of the story of Simeon. Is the picture of hope. And all of those things are encompassed, and you'll see this, all of those things are encompassed in what Simeon felt. This story to me is one of the real human stories that you really can picture what somebody was thinking and feeling at the moment in time that this event happened. So if you, in Luke chapter 2, go to verse 25, and we're going to read up through verse 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, it's interesting that with all the things that are going on in the scripture at this point in time, that all of a sudden we are introduced to this character, Simeon, who we know nothing else about. Simeon is not talked about anywhere else in the scripture. There's no prophecy of him doing this thing in the Old Testament. There's no mention of him again after this. So we have this character that's relatively unknown that all of a sudden is introduced to this time in scripture, after the birth of Christ, but before the rest of his life. So there had to be a reason, right? God doesn't put things in the Bible for no reason. So there had to be a reason that this was put in Scripture. And so as we consider some things about Simeon and what we learn of him in this passage and what God used to tell Mary and us, hopefully we can learn some things from this that we can take away and say, you know what? I have a purpose too. Simeon had a purpose in the ministry of Christ, and we have a purpose in the ministry of Christ as well, and that's what I hope we see as we go through this. So the first thing I would like you to notice this morning is that Simeon, even though we don't know a lot about him, some things are revealed about him as a person at the very beginning. So he lived in Jerusalem, and his character is revealed here. We're told he is just and devout. That word just could also be righteous. So what is it about his character that was spoken of so highly? Well, one, The word just or righteous means that he was living the right way. He was doing the right things. It was a pattern in his life. Now, we know, as if we think back to the Old Testament, descriptions can be given of people that are not necessarily true of them 100% of the time. Think about David. What's the one phrase that always comes up about David? A man after God's own heart. Well, if David was that 100% of the time, he would have never sinned with Bathsheba, right? He would have never done some of the other things he did where he did a census when he shouldn't have done a census. There are other times where that was not true of him, but generally speaking, David was known as a man after God's own heart. Well, Simeon is known as a righteous man, a just man, someone who lived the right way and was doing the right things. And then the word devout is also used, which means he was faithful. He lived every aspect of his life out of respect for the God that he served. So he did the right thing, he was known for doing the right thing, and he was known for being faithful, for sticking to it. So that was the character of Simeon that was revealed in this passage. That's what we know about his character. Then we find that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had a purpose. And guess what? All believers have a purpose. At the very minimum, we are supposed to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're to make disciples. At a very minimum, we all share that purpose. Well, Simeon had a purpose. He was looking for the Messiah. And as we get into this passage, you'll see that the Messiah he was looking for was not the Messiah that most of the children of Israel were looking for. Because many of the children of Israel were looking for a king right then. They were looking for somebody to overthrow Rome and to reestablish an independent nation of Israel. That is not what Simeon was looking for. Simeon was looking for a savior. He was looking for the true Messiah as revealed in the Old Testament. And so that was his purpose in life. He was looking for the Messiah. What a great purpose to have, right? What an exciting purpose to have, to know that the Old Testament has been pointing to one individual, that there are all these prophecies in the Old Testament, and now it has been revealed to Simeon that he is to be looking for the promised one. So that is his purpose. And then we also find his spiritual condition is the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now remember, this is prior to Pentecost. So at this stage of Scripture, we are still in an Old Testament era because Christ has not yet died on the cross and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has not yet been sent. So at this point in time, the Holy Ghost was given and taken as God deemed it necessary to accomplish certain things. And at this moment in time, at this time period, the Holy Spirit was given, the Holy Ghost was given to Simeon to give him insight into what was about to happen, so that he would know that he was following God's leading. So these are just some things that we know about the person of Simeon. Apart from this, we know nothing else. We don't know how old Simeon was. We don't know what his occupation was. He came to the temple under direction of the Holy Ghost, so it is very unlikely. I've heard it said that he maybe was had some religious role at the temple. I don't believe he did because the Holy Ghost led him to go there. It seems to me that it was something he didn't ordinarily do on a daily basis. We know nothing else about Simeon. We don't know what his occupation was. We don't know his marital status. We don't know if he had children or grandchildren. But we do know this: God had a purpose for Simeon, and Simeon was obedient to that purpose. So Simeon, as a unique individual at this time in history, had received a unique promise from God. We find in verse 26 that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he had this promise from God: you are not going to die until your purpose is complete. Now that That sort of seems like a unique promise, and yet the reality is if we are obedient to God, God will use us in his service until our purpose is complete. I battled this with my Sunday school class. I'm by far the youngest member of my Sunday school class. In fact, I'm about nearly half the age of some of the members of my Sunday school class. And one of the things that I battle constantly with them is, you're not done. God is not finished using you in his service. Coming to church and sitting in Sunday school and just listening to his word is great, but it doesn't stop there. And until God chooses to take us as a believer home, we still have a purpose in his service. And Simeon has been told, you will not die, you will not see death until your purpose is complete. And your purpose is, you are going to see the Messiah personally. Now that's exciting. Simeon, as a devout Jew, would have been thrilled about this promise, to know that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. That signaled something different in his generation. Something big was going to happen, and Simeon was going to play a role in this. And so Simeon does not take this idly. He pursues the obedience of God's command in his life. He does what he's supposed to do. He's obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we find then in verse 27 that by the Spirit's leading, he came to the temple. Now we aren't told. There's no time frame given here. Did he just come to the temple one day? Or did he come many days? I tend to believe he came multiple times. That he was given this charge, this command, this hope that he was going to see the Messiah. And I personally believe he went every day to the temple with the expectation that that was going to be the day that he would see the Messiah. So can you imagine? I mean, we've got a small group of people here. Imagine going to the Kansas State Fair and being told that you're going to see a child and that child's going to be different and you've got to pick that child out of the crowd. Out of the thousands of people that come streaming through the gates of the state fair, and at the state fair you've got multiple entrances, how are you going to find that one child? It's hard enough sometimes finding your family members, and you all have cell phones and you still can't find each other. And here is Simeon at the temple at a time when people constantly are coming into the courtyard of the temple for various reasons with children, because that's where all the Jews went to dedicate their children to God, to officially name them. That happened at the temple. And so you've got all kinds of young families coming in with young children, and Simeon's there every day. Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? And we find then in verse 28, or verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, imagine how he felt. He's potentially been doing this day after day after day, and he's in the temple, and all of a sudden, and we don't know, how did God reveal to him through the Holy Spirit that that was the one? We don't know, other than the Spirit just said, that's the one. And now this couple is coming up. They've got their first child. I mean, and it's a young mother and a young father. And they've got this baby in their arms, and Simeon sees this baby, and the Holy Spirit says, that's the Messiah. What do you think went through Simeon's mind at that moment in time? The emotion, I almost would imagine, and this is my dramatic mind thinking, that there was almost a hesitation on his part to let it sink in. Really, Lord? Really, God? This is the one. Probably got a little catch in his throat. Probably his feet were cemented to the floor. There was that moment of recognition that the Holy Spirit gave him that he probably had to process it. And then he acted. He immediately goes to this mother and this father and this infant. And in verse 28 it says, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. When something comes to fruition that we have been wanting for a long time, there is a moment of joy that thing you've been hoping for, the thing you've been wanting for, the thing you've been longing for has happened, and it's so exciting. And you just want to treasure that moment. And Simeon takes this baby in his arms, and he blesses God. There is a communion between him and God that all of a sudden, that throng of people that was around him is non-existent. Simeon is just before God. Now, before we look at what he has to say, I want you to think about Mary and Joseph. They're in Jerusalem. They're young. They're probably still a little bit frightened about all that life is going to offer. Because even though the angels have appeared unto them and told them that they're going to have a baby and that baby's going to be the Savior of the world, they still don't really know what all that means. And now they're in Jerusalem, this young couple, in the midst of all these people, and all of a sudden some random strange man comes up and takes their baby. That's what's happening. So what's going through their minds while this man grabs their baby and holds him and all of a sudden starts having a conversation with God? What would you think if somebody took your first child out of your arms and then completely ignored you and started having a conversation with someone else? Wouldn't you freak out a little? I probably would. But they're observing all of this happening, and Simeon has the baby in his arms, and it says he blessed God. Simeon has a little worship service right here in the courtyard of the temple, right in front of Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus in his arms. Simeon is worshiping the God that has given him this opportunity, this hope, this expectation. And so he says here in verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. Lord, this is amazing, but my purpose is complete. You have given me a task to do, and by your Spirit you have revealed to me that I am holding baby Jesus. I am holding the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is going to provide salvation to the whole world." And he's excited, he's worshiping, he's talking to God, and he says, "My purpose is complete." You know, there aren't very many people that I know of recorded throughout the scripture or even history that know when their purpose is complete. But sometimes there have been. There have been servants of God that have reached a certain point and they just knew it was time for them to go home. God had finished his work. God had done what he was going to use them for, and God took them home. And Simeon recognizes that the purpose God had given him, the task God had given him, was now complete. But I think he's more excited about the rest of what he has to say, because he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And as we continue on this passage, you'll again see he is not talking about a king who is going to overthrow Rome. He has more spiritual comprehension than that. He sees what a lot of Jews today still refuse to see, that Jesus Christ was the salvation, not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles as well, that he hadn't come at that point in time to overthrow the empire, that he wasn't there to be a physical king on a throne at that moment in history. He was there to bring a spiritual kingdom to bear. And so Simeon says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, I love the Christmas season. I love this time of year because there's just something majestic about the songs that we sing about Jesus. There's something special about thinking that God sent his only son as an infant child to this earth to live and die so that I might have salvation. And when Simeon looks at this baby that he's now holding in his arms and says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation," He's taking all of those passages in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah and talk about the suffering servant and talk about the salvation of Israel, and he's putting all that into this little baby and his worship of God and saying, I can't believe I'm holding the Savior of the world in my arms. What a special gift has been given to this man, Simeon. Different than the gift that Mary and Joseph have. It's not the same. Mary and Joseph are going to be raising Jesus. But Simeon has this opportunity to see firsthand in his arms the Savior of the world in a way that we have never experienced because we've never seen Jesus face to face. You know, someday Simeon's going to be able to stand in heaven. Well, he probably is there now. But he's in heaven seeing that same Savior face to face. No longer is that a baby. But his faith was rewarded because he believed what God told him out of the Old Testament, and so he trusted in that truth. So his eyes have seen the salvation, and he's in verse 31 it says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. You're now bringing him into the world. The salvation that you have promised for so long is here. Physically on this earth, the Savior of the world is now on the earth. Exciting times for those who believed in the prophecies of the Old Testament. And then he shares this promise. And this is what gives us hope. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Isn't it interesting that this devout Jew who is holding a baby Jew in his arms in the courtyard of the temple, his first prophecy about this baby is that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. This is one of the first revelations in the New Testament that this baby would not just be salvation for the Jews, but also for the Gentile. This is where we know that Simeon understood the truth about the Messiah. He wasn't there to be the king. He was there to be the Savior. Because his first mention, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right here, right now, is he's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's us. We are included in that promise that was made right there by Simeon, that prophecy, that this little baby that he was holding was going to provide salvation for even the Gentiles. And then I like how he words the rest of that phrase there. He says, and will be the glory of thy people Israel. You know, the Jews have accomplished a lot. Even today, Israel is one of the most accomplished nations in the world. The things that they figure out how to do with their land are crazy. I actually just read a fiction book that was definitely fiction because it talked about a character who had lived for a really long time. And when he had been in Israel the first time, it was barren and dry and desert. And then they had this individual come back to Israel in the modern world. And there's green everywhere. There's cities everywhere. There's all these modern marvels. And he was amazed at the difference. So Israel has accomplished a lot. But guess what the crowning achievement of the children of Israel is? They were used by God to provide salvation to the world. That is the crown jewel in all that Israel has done and is the Messiah. And most of the Jews themselves today miss that. They don't understand that. They've completely glossed over the fact that the greatest thing they've ever accomplished is Jesus Christ. And yet Simeon, holding this baby, it is revealed to him all of these things, all of these prophecies in the Old Testament, Simeon packages into these two little phrases. He'll be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. We'll look at all after the fact, look at all that Jesus does and is still doing today, and is that not a perfect description of what he saw in that little baby? It is. It's a perfect description of what he saw in that child that he was holding in his arms. And then we find an interesting phrase here. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, I'm in full disclosure, this is my opinion right now, okay? This is my opinion. Mary and Joseph had already received messages from angels telling them all of this stuff about Jesus. So I do not believe personally that they were marveling at Simeon's message about Jesus, because none of this was new to them. I personally believe they were marveling at the fact that some stranger just walked up to them and knew all of it. That's what I believe. I believe they were standing there, no longer in fear that some strange man had their baby in their arms, but were standing there going, jaws dropping, looking at him going, how does he know this? An angel had to tell us, how does he know about it? Somebody else knows the truth about our little baby. And I think for them, it had to be an encouragement to them. At that moment in time, these teenage parents, that God is moving. God is keeping his promise. This baby really is who God says he is. It was confirmation for them that God was at work and preparing the way for their baby to do what their baby was intended to do, which was provide salvation for the world. So that's my opinion. You can disagree with me, that's fine. But I believe they were marveling more at the fact that Simeon knew these things than the fact he was saying those things. But then Simeon, I believe, again, he's being led by the Spirit here. Simeon now has, he's turned his worship of God, and he now looks at Mary. He's had his conversation with God. Who knows how long this actually lasts? If it were me and I was Simeon, there would have been moments of silence in the midst of this, and this would have taken a lot longer than a few seconds to say. But now he looks at Mary and he says, Simeon blessed them and said specifically unto Mary his mother. He has some things to say to Mary that are going to be important. And so he says, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now, Mary has been told that her son was going to be the Savior of the world. But we can look ahead 33 plus years at what's going to happen to Jesus Christ, especially in his last week of life on earth, and know the scripture tells us Mary was present at many of those things. Mary did not know every aspect of what was going to happen. She wasn't told. But Simeon, 33 years in advance, starts preparing her for what's going to come. And he says, first of all, your child is going to directly impact people's lives. He is going to have a huge impact on people's lives. In fact, even today, the reality is, there is no gray area when it comes to Jesus. You either believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, that he was buried and that 3 days later he rose again, or you don't. There is no in between. Jesus is God, or Jesus isn't God. He is a dividing line between truth and falsehood, between light and darkness. And so what Simeon is telling her right here is that he is going to cause division among the people that she lives with, that she grew up with. Guess what? Even her own family faced this. Because if you look in Scripture, his brothers did not believe for many, many years that he was who he says he was, and yet eventually they came to believe as well. So even within her own family, Jesus was this dividing line. There was a division caused because of who he was and what he was going to do. So he's going to be the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and this is interesting too, and he will be a sign which shall be spoken against. He is going to be opposed, and not just opposed, but hated. And I think we see that coming more and more to bear even today. We see people who, at the very name of Jesus, it's like they are totally repulsed by the name of Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They don't want to allow anything with Christianity to be allowed into anything. All of a sudden, it's become even more of a thing to not have any kind of visual images, even outdoors, even sometimes on personal private property, because it offends somebody. Why? Because it represents the name of who? Jesus. So when Simeon looks at this little baby and says, people are going to oppose him, people are going to hate him, he knew exactly what he was talking about. The Spirit knew what he was talking about. Because we can look at it today and say, yes, Jesus still causes division even today. People are either for him or they're against him. You really can't be ambivalent about Jesus Christ. You can't straddle a fence. And Mary here is told, this is the way it's going to be. People are either going to hate him or they're going to love him. And you're going to have to be ready for that. And even his final week, did we not see both of those things happen in his final week of ministry on this earth? Right? He entered Jerusalem riding a donkey, and all of the people were praising him and worshiping him and laying down their coats and the palm leaves and so excited that Jesus was here. And 4 days later, what were they doing? They were yelling, crucify him. So when Simeon looks at Mary and says, your child is going to be both hated and loved, he knew what he was talking about. Now the next thing that he says to Mary, he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Now I'm an emotional guy. I can't imagine what Mary went through. I'm not even a mother. I'm a father. I have two daughters and a son. And I can't imagine losing one of them, let alone losing one of them the way Mary's going to lose her firstborn. So think about what Simeon is warning her about. He is giving her some insight into what she's going to face. And he basically tells her right now, your soul is going to be torn apart because of your firstborn. You're going to believe in your son. You're going to believe that he is who he says he is. And you're going to want to protect him, but there's going to come a time where his life is going to be over and it's going to tear you apart. Now think about that time when Jesus Christ is being forced to walk through the city of Jerusalem with a cross on his back. And his mother is observing him. He's already been beaten to shreds. He's already had a crown of thorns pounded onto his head. He's totally unrecognizable as a human being. And he hasn't even been put on the cross yet. And now they lead him up to the place of his death. And they hang him on the cross. And what do we find? She is close enough to Jesus that he can look upon her and tell John, John, behold your mother. Take care of my mother. Can you imagine the sorrow, the pain, and the anguish that Mary went through at that moment in time? To see her child not only die, but die in that way, the most brutal, gruesome way that Rome could think of. And so she is looking upon this, and guess what? Simeon knows this is going to happen. And Simeon says, you're going to have to believe. You're doing the right thing. You're being obedient to God. But I just want you to understand, the Holy Spirit has led me to tell you it's going to cause you pain. But fast forward then 3 days. After he has been put on the cross, after he has been declared dead, what happens 3 days later? All of a sudden, this buzz starts going everywhere. The tomb is empty. He's alive. All of that sorrow, all of that pain, all of that anguish that she felt at that moment in time that Jesus Christ died on the cross that Simeon warned her about, all of that is taken away and hope is restored. Because now all those promises about who her child was, what her child would do, now all of that is revived in her. Simeon is telling her, don't get lost in what will happen to Jesus because the best thing in the world is going to happen after that. It's going to cause you pain, but that pain is going to lead to great joy. And what is the final thing that he says? He says, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. What your son is going to be, what your son is going to do, is going to get right at the heart of every person. It's going to force people to think about life, about eternity, about truth, in a way that nobody else will. You know, just speaking of truth, it was interesting. We went to Stratica yesterday, and I even took a picture of it because I found it interesting. They talked about how they had certain expectations of what they would find right down in that salt. And when they didn't find what they were looking for in the salt, they had to, there was a very specific phrase, if the theory doesn't work, then redo the theory. But then they redo the theory, they believe that evolution happened, but they're not finding proof of evolution in the salt. So instead of saying, well, evolution must not be true, they just change the theory of evolution and come up with a different evolutionary idea. You just said it didn't work. The truth is staring you right in the face, and yet you won't believe. That's what Simeon is talking about here. Jesus is going to be the truth staring these people in the face. He's going to be the one that brings to the forefront all the struggle, all the things that people have in their heads, all the sin that they carry around in their life. Jesus is going to be the one that's going to bring all that to the forefront, and they're going to have to decide, do I believe or do I not believe? We actually sang a song about Simeon as part of our Christmas cantata, and it starts off, Simeon, can you believe this story? And guess what? Simeon did. Simeon believed everything that he had been taught all throughout his life from the Old Testament about the Messiah, and when God told him, you're going to have an opportunity to see the Messiah and hold the Messiah in your arms, Simeon said, yes, I can't wait. And he went to the temple every day looking for the Messiah. And now his time has come and he's holding this baby in his arms. He's praising God. He's trying to encourage Mary. But what does that mean to us today? How does that impact us today? This story about this man 2,000 plus years ago who went to the temple and got to hold the Messiah. What does that actually mean for us? Well, it means, one, that we have hope. And our hope is based on the exact same thing that Simeon's hope was based on. This. That is what Simeon based his hope on. God, you promised in your word there would be a Messiah. And now you've told me I get to see the Messiah. I look forward to that. You know what? Our hope is different, right? Because when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, what hope are we given? We are given a hope of spending eternity with that individual that he got to hold in his arms. And the hope that we have in Scripture is a sure expectation. It is not a wish. We don't wish that someday we'll get to spend eternity in heaven. If we are saved, we know we get to spend eternity in heaven. It's a sure thing. That's the hope that Simeon had. It was a sure thing. And we have opportunity today to have that same hope. We're not going to hold baby Jesus in our arms, but we're going to see our Savior face to face. It's a sure hope. But you know, Simeon had a purpose in his life, and he pursued that purpose until it was fulfilled. He did what he was asked to do until he had accomplished his purpose. Well, we can do that today too. And I encourage you, you should be active in serving God and fulfilling your purpose in His work. The Scripture tells us that all Christians, all believers, are put in the church to fulfill a purpose. We are all part of a body, and we all know, we all have experienced what happens when parts of that body don't work the way they're supposed to. When your leg all of a sudden decides it's not going to work the way it used to work, it makes it hard to get things done. Well, what do you think happens in a church when pieces of the church are just sitting there doing nothing and the whole body needs to work together to get things done? We have a task that we are to carry out like Simeon had a task, and we need to pursue it. But then we also need to understand that what we stand for, now more than ever, what we stand for, Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, is going to cause division. And we will be hated just as Christ is hated for standing for the truth. It is going to happen. It is very difficult, even in our free society in the United States of America, it is very difficult to have conversations with people that hate God. It is. Because as soon as they hear that you're a Christian, it's almost like the little kid going, la 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 la, I can't hear you. There are adults that act like that. But you know what? Just because God is hated, just because we stand on a dividing line of Jesus Christ, doesn't mean we don't talk about Him. It's now more important than ever for us to understand, yes, Jesus Christ will divide opinion. Jesus Christ will divide people. Jesus Christ will divide families. But that doesn't stop us from talking about the truth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop us from talking about the Messiah and what He means to us today, to the Gentile and the Jew alike. Simeon's message of praise to God, his message of hope and encouragement to Mary, applies to us. We're not raising the Messiah, but we're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for that sure hope, that sure expectation that if I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and paid the penalty for my sin, and I trust in that, I'm going to spend eternity with this baby who's no longer a baby, who paid the penalty for my sin. My hope is the same as Simeon's. So I hope, I know it's a little different maybe to think of Simeon this way and to think of Christmas this way, but Simeon played an important role in the life of Jesus as a baby and his parents at this stage of history. And I believe that this message is relevant to us today. And I hope that you understand what Simeon was talking about is still relevant. We have hope in Jesus Christ the Messiah. We have a task to do until he calls us home, and we need to do it in a way that honors Jesus Christ and proclaims the name of Jesus Christ in everything we do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your word. Lord, there's probably more eloquent things that could be said about Simeon and about his message. Lord, there's so many things in Luke chapter 2 that could be talked about. But Lord, I pray that this has been relevant to us, that this has been something we can understand, something that we can be encouraged by. And Lord, we praise you today because of what you did so many years ago for coming to this earth and then living and dying. But we're thankful that you live today and that we have a hope because of what you've done. And Lord, we pray your blessing on the rest of the service today and ask this in your name.